listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
Today, we will continue our series, Planted. Planted. In the first week of this series, we looked at how the psalmist compared our lives to that of a palm tree. Like the palm tree, we are called to be fruitful. We are called to be flexible and resilient, and we are called to thrive in the right environment. And that was so important because Jesus said, you've got to stay connected. You've got to stay connected to the vine. As Christ followers, we are called to exist within the body of Christ. You can't become disconnected from the vine, the body of Christ. You can't become disconnected. You have to stay connected. You can't uproot, disconnect, and from God's people and still be in the body of Christ. We're called to be together in this thing. Amen? I said we're called to be together in this, right? Amen. Last week, we looked at this moment when Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took his disciples on a walk through a vineyard. They left an upper room, and Jesus had just washed their feet at the Last Supper. They exit that room and they walk through a vineyard, and Jesus begins to teach them one last lesson before he is betrayed and arrested. Standing between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, between the glory of worship at the temple and the reality of betrayal, he shows them the importance of staying connected to him. And in this horticultural object lesson, Jesus tells them that he is the vine, that we are the branches, and that our Heavenly Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser's main concern is to get the branches to bear as much fruit as possible. You have to understand that is the vine dresser's concern. He wants to make sure that each and every life bears as much fruit as they possibly can. So today, we're going to see how he does that. I want you to see how he produces fruit in our lives. Anybody else in the room love grapes besides me? I love grapes. I do. I love grapes. I do not consider myself a grape connoisseur. I'm not an expert on it, but I do love a good grape. I do. And I don't know the names of all the different varieties of grapes. I'm not usually picky about grapes. I like red seedless grapes. I like white seedless grapes that are actually green, and I have no idea why they call them white, but they're good. They're good to me. I'm not a wine drinker, but I do love good fresh muscadine juice. I do. I love muscadine juice. And I often walk by our refrigerator or our house, and I'll grab a bag of grapes as a snack. And I don't even wash them. I could care less. I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to grab them, eat, and it's a snack for me. It would be just sitting down and just eating jelly beans. I just like eating grapes. It's just, as a matter of fact, I prefer grapes over jelly beans. And so imagine my surprise recently when I was walking by the refrigerator. I grabbed the grapes that were in the refrigerator. And when I sat down on the couch and I began eating the grapes, I took the first one in my hand. And as I looked at it, I quickly realized that these were not grapes as I know them. These grapes were strange. They looked like large peanuts, but they were grapes. And I'd never seen anything like it. Some type of genetically engineered lab experiment gone wrong. And they're called moondrops. Does anybody in the room know what a moondrop is? Okay, there's very few people that know this. So I'm not alone. They're called moondrops. And later I asked my wife, she wasn't there at the moment, or we would have probably gotten into an argument because I don't like change when it comes to my food. Thank God she wasn't there. But later, I was like, what have you done? What is this witchcraft that's in my refrigerator? And some places actually call them witch fingers. I found out. I did some research on it. And I'm like, what? Genetically engineered, they are a result of an agricultural experiment and crossbreeding. And I'm like, I don't want any part. That's not how God intended grapes to look. I don't want any part of it. Whatever the case, they're not normal. They're not the way grapes are supposed to grow. They're not for me. In the kingdom of God, we are created. Understand this. You are created. I am created to bear fruit. There's no other way around this. That's how we were created. We're not created to accumulate wealth. We're not created to climb the corporate ladder. We're not created to become popular and have as many social media friends or followers that we possibly can. That's not why we are created. And it's not that those things are necessarily sinful, but when that becomes the sole focus, we are in danger of not fulfilling our created purpose. And our created purpose is to bear fruit. Just understand that. To be very clear, you were created to bear fruit. As we close out this series, I want to return to last week's text, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. John 15, verses 1 through 8. Be reminded that Jesus is walking his disciples through the valley in between rows of grapevines. And during that night, he stops and he begins to teach them this one last lesson. And they all lean in and they listen close to what Jesus has to say. And we read it here in John 15, verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Can I pause there just for a moment? We'll pick it back up in verse 5, just in a moment. It's so important for us to understand what he says here, because he says if you're going to bear fruit, you have to, you have to abide in him. You have to stay in him, abide in him. This is the body of Christ. And we are so much more fruitful when we are working together. Today on this campus, there are so many volunteers working together for a common cause. And we are fruitful when we work together. When we work together during Serve Month, we are more fruitful. When we work together during BioTree Change a Life, we are more fruitful. The body of Christ connected together is just more fruitful. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. So by bearing much fruit, you prove to be his disciple. I want us to get a good mental picture of what Jesus was talking about here. Because what he is basically doing is showing us four baskets, each with a different quantity of grapes in it. Your life, my life, is represented in one of these four baskets. More specifically, the abundance or lack of fruit in your life is clearly defined by how much lasting fruit you have to show for it. Again, I went over this last week, but I want you to be reminded. What is lasting fruit? What is fruit that abides? What is fruit that will last? Proverbs 11 and 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Titus 3 and 14. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So understand that, and there's probably more, but we know that lasting fruit are souls that are won to the kingdom of God. We know that lasting fruit can be good works. When you do good to someone else and you glorify God through that action, we know that lasting fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as I told you last week, some of you were not exemplifying lasting fruit on the way to church today because you've already been unkind. There is no joy. There's no peace in that car at all as you were arguing in front of your children. I get it. I understand. But this is what lasting fruit is. This is what is evident in a believer's life. And so I want to really show you what this looks like for us, because the first basket that is mentioned has no fruit in it. There's no fruit. There is no fruit to be found. And Jesus said that the branch that bears no fruit is thrown away and burned. Obviously, this is not the goal and certainly not the plan that God has for the lives of the believers. This is not God's plan for your life. This is not God's plan for my life. If your life is bearing no fruit, you have to ask yourself, what am I doing wrong? Because that's on you. That's on me. If my life is not producing fruit, I have to say, where am I missing out? God has called us to be fruitful. And from the beginning of humanity, he has expected fruit from our lives because he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. So he has required fruitfulness out of our lives. God wants us to be fruitful. The second basket that Jesus spoke about had some fruit. Not a lot, but some fruit. This is better. But what you have to understand is that as we read our text, Jesus didn't waste time celebrating some fruit. John 15:2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, some fruit, he prunes that it may bear, say it with me, more fruit. Which leads me to the third basket. More fruit. More fruit. God will prune your life to help you produce more fruit. We're going to get into this. I'm going to explain this to you. But God wants your life to produce more fruit. Understand that more fruit, as great as this is, this is better than no fruit. And this is better than some fruit. But understand, as great as this is still not the goal. John 15:5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears, say it, much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so the goal of the believer's life is much fruit. And what I have figured out, church, is that God will continue to prune your life in order to get you to a place to where you will bear much fruit. The Father wants us to bear fruit, more fruit, and even much fruit. And he is actively tending his vineyard and he's lifting and cleaning and pruning his branches to produce much fruit. And I've realized that the vine dresser will go to extremes to make his branches, us, fruitful. He will go to the extremes to make us fruitful. The first thing that I notice is this, is that he lifts and cleans the branches. The vine dresser will walk each row of the vineyard carefully, inspecting each and every branch. In doing some research, I come to the realization that sometimes new branches have a tendency to trail down and grow along the dirt. Even old branches, if unattended, an unattended vineyard, those old branches will begin to grow down and grow along the dirt. And when they do, they get covered in mud, mildew, grime, and in that state, they are unfruitful. They have to be clean, or else they could not produce fruit. The vine dresser carries a bucket of water and some type of cloth, maybe even a sponge, as he walks through the vineyard, and he will carefully clean each and every branch, and then he will lift up that branch and he will weave it into the trellis or somehow maybe tie it up where it's being supported by a stronger branch above it. And soon after it is clean and it is lifted up, that branch will begin thriving. It'll begin growing and it will begin producing fruit. Jesus told his disciples in John 15:3, he said, already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. He said, you're already clean. He didn't have a need at that moment to clean them, to lift them, to tie them. He said, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And what this tells me, church, is that We are cleansed by the word. Why is it so important for us to regularly hear God's word taught? Why is it so important for us to be consistent with hearing the word of God preached? It's because the word of God is what brings a cleansing to our souls. In Ephesians 5 and 26, it says that we are washed by the cleansing of God's word. We are washed by the cleansing of God's word. His word cleans us, it redirects us, and it puts us in places and positions to flourish and thrive and to grow. In 2 Timothy 3 and 16, Paul tells young Timothy, he says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. You know, some people don't like coming to church because they don't like hearing what the Word of God has to say about their lives being wrong. And I'm just going to go there. And some of you are not going to like it, and you're not going to come back, and you're going to send an email. And this week, I'm going to ask you to send it to me because we're appreciating our support staff. Normally, I would give you one of their email addresses. Send it to me if you don't like it. But just yesterday, I watched as a local pastor was celebrating a day when people come out of the closet and announce to the world their sexuality, which is contrary to God's word. And he was doing it from a standpoint of love. No. Let me tell you, that's not love. Because love still tells the truth. And I love you too much to not preach the truth of God's word. Sometimes it's not easy. But God's word, we can't pick and choose. We can't determine that we like this and not this. God's word, it has the ability to cleanse us, to lift us, to redirect us. And church, anyone that tells you they love you, they'll preach the truth of God's word and not just sugarcoat a gospel that you want to hear. We are lifted, cleaned, and redirected by the word of God. It's the next part, though, that we don't particularly care for. Because next, he prunes us. He prunes us. The vine dresser will prune away dead growth that prohibits the sun from shining in and nourishing the branch. At our previous house, we had a fire pit in the backyard. And on each side of the paver patio surrounding the fire pit, I planted wildflower perennials. And they would die off every winter, and then they would come back every spring. And when I planted them, they were just small little plants. And so the next spring, they came back a little bit larger. But I began to notice that the plants were struggling to come back. After a few years of being planted, there was some old growth there that was on top, and it had turned brown and brittle. You could just reach down and just snap it with your fingers. And it would make the plant... it was ugly. You can imagine how ugly it was. But I've noticed that the new growth, the little leaves that were coming up underneath, they were being smothered out by the old dead growth. And so I didn't want to cut down all of the old growth, because if I did that, then it was just going to be a small plant again, and that would that's not the purpose. I wanted them to grow. I wanted them to be large. They if I was to cut them back, they would be non-existent on the surface. And it would almost seem like I was starting over and planting these plants. So one day, I knew it wasn't working the way that it was. So I decided that I would cut down all of that old growth. The fire pit's right there. So I just took the old growth, snapped it off, and just threw it over in the fire pit to burn it. And within a few days, the perennial wildflowers were beginning to show new growth. By the end of spring, these plants had taken over. They were larger than they had ever been, to the point to where they were growing in on a bench that we had sitting there, and I had to cut them back away from the bench. They just exploded. They became so large. What I didn't realize was that each year the root system was getting deeper and deeper. Every year since I planted them, that root system was growing deeper and deeper. I couldn't see it because it's underground. It's beneath the surface. And I'm afraid sometimes that we become too focused on what's on the surface and not what's under the surface. when it comes to our personal lives. We're too worried about what everybody has to see and how we look productive, how we look fruitful, when actually we're not fruitful. Church, man promotes by the height of the tree. God promotes by the depth of the roots. If you want God to bless your life, if you want your life to be fruitful, then you have to let Him do some pruning in your life. You have to allow the roots to grow deep and trust that God knows what He's doing on the surface of your life. Your job is to grow deep. His job is to take care of what can be seen and what can't be seen. God is more concerned with the depths of your soul than what others can see. And in order to get new growth, the old growth has to be pruned. Three areas, really quick, and I'm not going to take too much time, but three areas that God will prune. The first one is this: problems. God will prune your problems. I begin with this one because this is the one that we like. This one's welcomed. We don't mind God pruning here. God, get all in my business when it comes to my problems. If you can fix it. If you can fix this dryer, Lord, you fix this dryer. Because God knows we don't want to buy a new one. So God, if you can fix the problem, fix the problem. When God removes a problem from our life, we're thankful for it. It's like having that debt that you can't pay. And after years of struggling to make those minimal payments, collections one day calls you and lets you know that the debt has been forgiven. And you will have a Holy Ghost fit right there in your living room just because they forgave a debt. Or maybe it's that car that just won't start. It won't stay running. And you want to get another car, but you can't afford it. But then one day, out of the blue, somebody walks up to you and offers you more cash than what the car is worth. And you just realize in that moment that one man's junk is another man's treasure, and you don't tell them about all the mishaps of the car. You just gladly, Lord, thank you for removing this problem from my life. Amen? Or maybe it's that sickness that you just can't kick. But one day you wake up, and there's no more symptoms. God removed the sickness. He pruned it from your life. You know what that feels like. Have you ever been praying against a hurricane? And your prayer ends up something like this: God, if you will redirect that hurricane, Lord, I know if it would just dissipate, everyone would be blessed, but up here in the panhandle in North Florida, we just can't handle anymore, God. Can you redirect it and let it hit someone else? And God seemingly answers your prayer. But think about this. What about that poor person in South Florida that was praying the same exact prayer? And sometimes it's your prayer that doesn't get answered. And it's hard to reconcile all that in the spirit of faith. It's like, how does this work? What happens when God doesn't prune what we want Him to prune? When God doesn't prune the problem that we want Him to prune. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, Paul speaks of this. He says, "So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away." But you know what? God didn't take it away. It was just something that Paul had to learn to deal with. And church, I've learned that sometimes God removes the problems and sometimes He doesn't. And I have to have the faith to trust His sovereignty. He's God. I'm not. He knows what needs to be removed from my life, and He knows where I need to be strengthened so that I can go through that storm. It's not always easy, but sometimes God prunes my problems, and sometimes God doesn't. The next thing that God prunes is our plans. God prunes our plans. And I'm a planner. I am. I am a planner. I like to set goals, and I like to have clearly defined plans on how to achieve those goals. I like the different steps. I'm a red tape guy. I like all of that. But have you ever been disappointed with plans that didn't come to fruition? Anyone? For those of us that are a type A personality, you know what I'm talking about. This is a struggle for us when it doesn't go according to plan. I've learned that living in the kingdom does not always go according to my plans. Proverbs 16:9 says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." Psalm 138 and verse 8 says, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever." Proverbs 19:21, "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." What happens when the Lord's purpose and your plans don't jive? And let me tell you, He's sovereign. He doesn't owe you an explanation. He knows what it's going to take to make your life fruitful. And so sometimes He prunes your plans. The goal, again, is much fruit. And it's painful to be pruned. It's painful. But the goal is, God does not want you being unfruitful. He's not even celebrating some fruit. Even this is not good enough. When you have more fruit in your life, God will still get out the pruning shears, because this is the goal and will always be the goal for your life. You can't get out of the process. You can fight it if you want to, but all you're going to do is prolong God's plan for your life to be fruitful, not producing some fruit or more fruit, but God's plan to produce much fruit in your life. And we have to get to a place in our trust with Him that we welcome the pruning shears and we say, God, You work in my life. You do what You have to. You take away what needs to be taken away. And if my plans are not Your plans, God, cut them out. Get rid of them. Throw them in the fire, because God, I want my life to be fruitful. And the final thing that I know that God prunes in our lives is people. And this is not easy. This can be one of the most painful parts of the pruning process, especially when you love hard. This has been one of the most difficult parts for me in ministry. And they try and teach us not to take it personal. But when one of the core values of your church is dependence, learning to depend on other believers, learning to love, to walk through life together, this becomes a difficult process for me. You love people, you invest in people, you drop whatever you're doing to be there for them, and then they just walk away? They're there one day and they're gone the next? And they leave you wondering what happened? What went wrong? Or maybe you know what went wrong, and in your mind it wasn't a blow up that constituted them leaving. And I'm not just talking about church right now, I'm talking about our personal lives. There's moments where there's just pain that they were there, but now they're not. And it's hard to reconcile that. It's hard to make sense of all of that. But think about this. At the time of this teaching in this vineyard, Judas Iscariot had just left the ministry to go and betray Jesus. Just moments earlier, Judas got up from the table after Jesus had washed their feet. He had instituted communion with them, took first communion with them, told them, every time you do this in remembrance of me. And that man gets up from that table and walks away from the man that had just washed his feet and walks out the door to betray Jesus. And yeah, you didn't think that he went through what you went through. This was a man that in Matthew 26 and verse 50, Jesus refers to him as his friend. This is not just an acquaintance. This was not someone Jesus just met on the street. This was someone that Jesus invested in. This was a friend. When others denied him the opportunity to become a disciple, Jesus opened the door and gave him an opportunity, even though he was unqualified, to be his disciple. And this is a man that sells him out, betrays him, all for 30 pieces of silver. That's what Jesus was worth to him. And you know this feeling, church. You know exactly what I'm talking about, because they were worth a whole lot more to you than you were to them. And it's painful. It's one of the worst pains ever when they walk away from your life. It hurts when people look past all that you've done just to satisfy their fleshly desires. And I've come to realize that sometimes God will allow people to walk away because they're not going to help facilitate the plan that he has for your life. And let me say this. He's also got a plan for their life. And maybe you weren't part of the plan for their life. Don't forget, though, God prunes for one purpose. He takes you through all the pruning and all the pain for one purpose, to produce what Jesus called much fruit. And you may want to deny it. You may want to walk away. You might want to say, I don't want to be connected to this vine anymore. But Jesus says, you stay connected. He said, you stay faithful. You stay in the right environment. And you allow the vine dresser to get his pruning shears out. And you allow him to prune away the dead stuff in your life so that you can become more fruitful and produce much fruit. Much fruit. It's the goal. Much fruit. Let God prune. Don't fight the process. In thinking about this week, and I'm not going into detail, so everyone that's been around here, just relax. But I want you to understand that there are people leading worship on this stage today that are a product of the pruning process that this church had to go through. There's people on this stage today leading worship and playing in the band that I'm convinced, had God not led this church through a pruning process, they would have never been given the opportunity. If God had not pruned, they would probably not be here and certainly not be being used by God the way that he wants to use them. It was painful. Oh, it was painful. But it was necessary. I've had to endure a pruning of friendships. Again, I'm not going into details, but people that I was close to, that I vacationed with, that I did life with. We celebrated birthdays together. We were there for each other during deaths. And in the process, sometimes you never realize how draining those relationships are and how one-sided they are. In the end, I know that God has replaced them with life-giving relationships that pour more into me than what I can ever give back to them. Friendships that understand my schedule as a pastor, understand the demand on my life, and they pour into me and they make my life more abundant. But man, church, in the process, it's so painful. But I stand here right now so thankful that God pruned. I didn't realize it. I didn't know in the moment. But God was taking me from producing some fruit and even some seasons of more fruit. But man, right now, he's got me in a season of much fruit. Dreams coming true that I never thought possible, and surrounded my life with people who look past my flaws. And they build me up. They lift me up. They dream with me. More fruit. God prunes. Sometimes it's painful. But it produces much fruit.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.